Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. September 14, 2019. Kabbalah and Psychology, the Teacher-Student Relationship. Remark: in Kabbalah, the relationship between teacher and student is very important. As I understand it, it is not so in psychology. My comment: I think that even there a person gets attached to his psychologist. But in Kabbalah, a student's connection with his teacher is simply essential. It is necessary for a student to listen to the teacher and try to implement his advice, even if it does not seem quite real. A teacher in Kabbalah is sort of a problem for a student. He or she has to accept the teacher and follow him contrary to common sense. In psychology, it is clearer. Both the psychologist and the patient are on the same egoistic level, while in Kabbalah, they are on two levels: the teacher is on the spiritual level and the student is on the material. Therefore, a problem arises. Question: is it true that all the advice given by a teacher instructor in Kabbalah is incomprehensible to a student? Answer: its inner meaning, of course, is not clear because a student is not yet at the same level as a teacher. Psychology, in principle, is possible to study by yourself and understand what comes from where, what great psychologists say about it, etc. That is, psychology is within the framework of rational thoughts and desires, and Kabbalah, which is outside these boundaries, is in what is called faith above reason. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, the 13th of December 2018. Hikikomori. Remark: there are people in Japan called hikikomori. These are people who withdraw into themselves, isolate themselves, confine themselves to their homes. They do not go anywhere. Some never leave their homes and earn money by freelancing on the internet. Japan has more and more of these people. My comment: very well. They live and have acquired a virtual identity for themselves. They should be given an opportunity to develop in various ways through this virtual identity. Each person will decide, according to their own egoism, what is best and more convenient for them. They do not cost the government anything, they do not harm anyone, they do not kill or steal, nothing like that. That is all good. They do not sneak out at night to do something bad. I would put all people on this diet, this lifestyle. But, in order to achieve a higher life, a higher purpose, to acquire the ability to sense it, to come out of ourselves, to rise above this meager collection of still, vegetative, animate, and human bodies, our world, for this ascension, a person must exit one's cell and begin to unite. But unite in the right way. Question: will they be able to break through and grow after some time? What will they achieve by sitting in solitude and not stepping outside? What will happen to them? Answer: the question about the meaning of life will come to them. It will occur to each of them. I am certain that people will begin to distance themselves from this hectic, raging mass, from this Manhattan that has spread all over the world. Thanks to emerging technologies, all the commuting from office, to and from work, will be reduced. Humanity will engage in inner work with the help of computers, producing a more internal intellectual product. Therefore, many people will be confined to their homes, not just the Japanese. It is ecologically sound, cleaner, easier, more agreeable to people. Even the Torah says, happy is the one who earns a living not having to leave his home. Question: what will it lead to? Answer: people keep developing. Their desire keeps growing, as is intended by nature. From above, they will start to feel, what is it all for? Right now, humanity is preoccupied with their games, not realizing what kind of question is hanging over them. They will come to the meaning of life. The truth. Question: a breakthrough toward it? From what, an outcry? Answer: from a growing, expanding inner need. Actually, this is sweet suffering because it tells you about the search, that you are a human. Question: Does this mean there is a great joy somewhere out there, but I have yet to discover it? Answer, yes. I have not discovered it yet, but it is shining at me from afar. That is, I am already connected to it, but now I have to move toward it. From CabTV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, July 2, 2019. Efficiently move forward. Question: what attitude should we build toward the past, present, and future in order to move forward most effectively in Kabbalah and in life? Answer: on one hand, it is very simple, but on the other hand, it is difficult. It is just that I have to imagine the whole of humanity, the whole world, as one single entity, one single construction, controlled only by a good upper force. I want to have my own relationship to this force, to identify with it, belong to it, and enter it. As soon as I try to adapt to the upper force, meaning to bring myself into a state of merging with the Creator, I will immediately begin to feel all of humanity as one single mechanism. In general, everyone agrees that this is probably true, while others only talk about it. What else can they do? But I will know, see, feel, understand, comprehend, and also realize this through my actions. The wisdom of Kabbalah gives us the tools to intervene in nature correctly through our participation. To the extent that I can correctly interact with a higher, eternal, perfect, good nature in absolute communication with all its parts, I will reveal, understand, and feel it, see its intention, the system, and the formula by which it works. Question: how does one come closer to the future that you are talking about? Answer: you have a group for this. If it is not there, you must create a group in which people would like to reach a state where they are one single whole, and realize it. This does not mean that you should be physically connected to each other. You should simply support each other in your movement toward a common goal, take care of each other's spiritual life, since in such a group the spiritual life of each depends on the others. Therefore, if we relate to each other with full involvement, where each is ready to be there for the other, then we will begin to feel a manifestation of a positive force, the Creator, within us. I wish for you to feel it. From the Kabbalah lesson in Russian, the 28th of April 2019. New Life Number 276. The Male Brain and the Female Brain, Part 1.
Hello, and thank you for being with us here in A New Life, the discussions, educational discussions with Rav Leitman. Hello, Rav Leitman. Hello, Vnitsa. Hello. We want together with you to do a little journey to understand life better in order to take them to a better place. And our life is built from relationships. We've got relationships with whoever is not us, and we'd like to know how to make these relations better. So if we go into this globe, there's two different types of people. There are men and there are women. We have a different mind. We have different emotional, internal structure that's different, and we're trying to learn how to be a little bit better. We want to learn how these two halves in the humankind operate differently and to work better. I'm sure there will be many things to take to all the different fields in life and topics in life, so it'll be fascinating. Let's go for it. Men and women brains. Nitsa, open the discussion. So this topic of the male and female mind is very fascinating, and the truth is, the more I learned about it and worked on it, I came to the conclusion that it's even kind of fun. That force that created us, that director, that artist, used something very similar. He took two completely opposite mechanisms. He put some kind of glue between them, some kind of force of gravity between them, and said, oh, get along. Each being opposite the other, and there are endless studies and research articles and even comedy skits because it's so fun to see how they think completely different, how a woman thinks, and how completely different, how even a different perception reality. Women live in a certain movie and men live in a different movie. And it's a different language and our communication's completely different. And as a result of living a total different movie, so our whole making decisions, our processing of data, our whole emotional system is different, meaning there's here a complete differentiation between a mechanism which I call the female mechanism and the male mechanism. And I think that after we observe this and read so many studies about it that really show about the biological, structural, hormonal differences, everything, but there's no study that talks about the essence. Why we were created as opposites? What's the essence of these two mechanisms? And what are we supposed to, how are we supposed to connect? Why is this attractive force that tries to connect between us? It would appear that as if it would be much easier for me to get along with the mechanism that's similar to me. I get along better with my type, my sex, and why do I need this other thing? No, continue. This is actually a very true point. Because seemingly I live in peace with women that talk the same language, understand. Women understand you well. Yes, we talk and we feel each other. We kind of, sometimes we don't even have too many men. For men, by the way, it's much less. Men don't understand. Therefore, they go into struggles and all kinds of things from a lack of understanding. They're very dispersed in all kinds of directions, each of them. They're more individualists. Women are kind of more organized to one line in life. Right, now we'll get into all kinds of different pans of it, but because we see there are many things that are very special attributes for women versus men. For example, women are very empathic. They have a very easy connection to feelings, to emotions. But to do this also to calculate... I watched a comedy short film that's running on YouTube. I think many people watched it, and it explained that he put like a brain of a woman and a brain of a man. And he said, let's talk about a brain's man. It's built in the form of boxes. You take a box out and you talk only to what's to that box. And in general, there's one switch. It's either on or off. A woman's brain, everything is connected to everything. It's like everything is wired. This is connected to this, connected to that. And everything's connected to everything. And there's some immense difference. And therefore, as a result of that, there's also the conflicts and the lack of ability for us to... Conflicts are not from that. The conflicts are from a lack of the right connection, lack of mutual understanding, and that's already something else. Because the conflict can be only under the condition that I initially don't take into account the differences between us, that it's impossible, all in all, to erase them. Meaning it can't ever be that I will understand a woman truly like that, as the way that she understands her or different women do. I will never be able to call myself in her. And the same thing, a woman in a man, ever. But if we know this and understand this and accept it, these discernments and these differences, and we go to correct, not erase this gap, but despite it, to be connected, then it's really a different life. This is possible. It's even two different contradictory things. You can build a system between them which will adapt them relatively. Relativity. It's interesting that the connection seemingly between similar is more natural, but the connection between different ones are more challenging on one hand, but it also, when we succeed doing it in a good way, it also brings more pleasure, more happiness, more love. It's a certain sensation of two opposites that somehow bring up. But maybe the first question, why are these two systems that are so different, and what's the importance of these two systems? That's the simplest. I'm willing to answer that. We are talking about creation, which is the desire to enjoy. The desire to enjoy and receive pleasure and filling and pleasures. Technically, just like the brain researchers talk, so we are egotistical. Each of us wants to receive fulfillment. These fulfillment has to be pleasure to me. What's pleasure to me is called filling. And what's not pleasure and enters into me is called suffering. So my whole existence moves between pleasure and suffering. And therefore, that's who I am. Because I am between these two, I respond, I give responses. I want this and I don't want that. And you, and the cell that feels either pleasures or sufferings, is called the cell of life. Simple. In my definition, let's say. So this is called the cell of life. It's not a biological cell, specifically. It's not that it belongs to some other mechanism, but it's the emotional cell. The pleasure and my decision, what and how much I differentiate between the two, and how much I run away from suffering, and I'm attracted towards pleasures. According to the level and how much I differentiate between the pleasures and the sufferings, run from the sufferings, and I'm drawn to the pleasures, I call this cell in levels of still, vegetative, animate, and speaking. Meaning, actually, this is our whole life. What's the difference between all these levels, between all the creatures, between all the inanimate objects, all the vegetation, all the animate, and people? The differences are in the essence of this cell that differentiates between pleasures and sufferings, and in as much as I differentiate, in what degrees of or levels I differentiate between pleasures and sufferings, at what quality I do that. In all of my feelings, in all my senses, sight, hearing, smell, taste, and tactile, there are other people and other things that happen in the degree of vegetative and animate, but all in all, no matter what, wherever I go, there are less and more developed also in vegetable, in plants and in animals and in people. It's all according to the different levels and forms of qualities of different kinds, different fashions of it. But it's all that same cell which differentiates suffering and pleasure, and to what measure it is sensitive for the differences between them. It's like a computer memory, which is all in all built from cells that are 0 and 1. We are built from those cells. Pleasure or suffering, and do I differentiate? And this is associated with my senses, meaning we have in our mind, in our brain, many smell cells, which truly covers our whole brain. We probably needed it once. Today, smells, who knows, there are such animals that can feel 10 miles away that there's some animal there or something. and so on. But in other words, behind every single sense, many cells stand behind it, which are associated with that sense. And after they differentiate in those senses, they differentiate also whether it's pleasure or suffering. And then from that, I start to make a certain decision in how much and to what degree, whether I need, how much I need to distance myself from these sufferings and how much it's worthwhile for me to be drawn to these pleasures, what energies I need to do to make this work, and so on and so forth. Meaning, this is as much as my mind goes into work. Meaning, after this cell which differentiates, where there also is a brain mechanism that needs to differentiate and compare between them. Later I need to do a comparison in how dangerous it is and how attractive it is and fills me. And this is also all associated with my environment, how much my environment appreciates this or not. Meaning there are many details here and conditions and data that later my mind can calculate how much to operate in this or not, to get far from sufferings or even to come close to pleasure. What do I need to do for this? How much it will cost me in forces and so on. Meaning our mind altogether serves running from suffering and coming closer to pleasures. All in all, it serves the desire. And that's how it's built in everything. When I look at this cup, for example, that's a white color, and this table is the color brown. I don't look and see white and brown, only I have a certain feeling and the suffering and the pleasure towards white and brown. And that's how I differentiate. Even though brown is always brown and white is always white, but I receive it nevertheless through my feelings. How pleasant or not pleasant it is for me, because my general sense after behind my sight, smell, hearing and taste and tactile are still come down to my feeling of whether it's pleasurable or suffering. I can't completely be objective, not dependent on anything, like I'm some kind of machine. I check something and define that this is how this thing is giving, a great light or smaller light, deep or not, color or not. Rather, I check everything after I stand behind this mechanism, even according to my mood for that day. Even to that point it changes. We know that, say, people that engage in photography and film, there's days when they say, I can't film when you're standing behind a camera. What do you care? Even still photography that is seemingly simple. No, if I'm taking a picture, I need to put my emotion to it. The camera can feel me to the point that they can't even understand themselves, they can't differentiate themselves in their mind to their emotions. Rather, everything is together. Why did I give this whole introduction? Because if we're talking about the male mind and the female mind, then, of course, here, because our feelings, our emotion, our desire to enjoy, the general desire to enjoy in men and women are so different, then definitely the minds of men and women, which are behind these desires to enjoy, are accordingly very different. Very different. How is the desire to enjoy of a male different? It's not that a man and a woman see different things, but how I decide and how I feel and how I relate to it and how I compare these things. Everything is completely different in my intellectual work as well as it is in a woman's work. Meaning that the mind is working according to a different program, different software. There are certain things that you can replace between men and women, but the truth is that we don't know yet how much, even in the body cells, there's a difference. Nevertheless, in the organs and definitely in the brain, which is the server of our desire, which is our foundation. And what is this basic discernment of the will to receive, which is different in a male or in a female, in a man or a woman? They both want to enjoy. That's common to them. What are the differences between what we relate to these things? This stems from a system that is even more supreme, more upper, that in the end of our development we need to complete each other. And hence, for our completion, our making each other up will be very special, very high, whole, eternal, so it will be able to include within it this common system. The whole world will be included, and maybe all the worlds. Therefore, this system has to be very extreme in these two parts, male and female, man and woman. Because all in all, in the connection between them, such intense, deep, endless differences, these two minds need to be so contradicted, so different, so opposing systems. I would say even endless fashions within each and every one of them, meaning there is nothing in each of them that they're truly complete, and if they truly do complete together, it is amazing. And I'm saying that it's because they understand how much they can't, and therefore they complete. Meaning there's a certain concealment between man and woman, because he thinks, oh, she thinks like me, and like I do. But if it was truly to be revealed how much they don't think together in the same way, then they wouldn't ever agree or be able to come close to each other. They wouldn't be able to. And as much as we will grow onwards together more and more, we will discover at a time when we truly get closer to the internality of man and woman, and I hope that from this generation onwards this process will start, then we will discover how much we are more and more different, but with that we will have a mind, a feeling, an understanding, awareness, and patience, and ability to complete each other. But this completion will give birth from two of us, one man, one human. So I understand now, I really understood that the structure of the mind is a servant, meaning it serves a certain need that is higher of it. And this this force is a desire to differentiate between pleasure and suffering. So what's the differentiation between what a man enjoys and what a woman enjoys? A woman enjoys from her building for herself a home. We'll call it a home. It's something that belongs to her. It's a place of control that belongs to her. And in this, she feels herself as covering him, controlling him, letting the her borders enter into anyone. And actually, she needs the man to supply for her what she needs inside these borders, these boundaries. What does a man enjoy? A man enjoys when he runs in all kinds of directions, discovers the world, disperses himself in all sorts of interesting things, as much as possible, far from this place that is called home. I'm saying this seriously. And it's like he has no belonging, no association with this. But the two of them are built in such a way that this cannot be without that. And therefore, all in all, in the end, one needs the other. Man is more associated with game, with adventure. He's interested in things that are more virtual, let's say. He breaks through to all kinds of directions, all kinds of worlds. He has interests. He's also more creative than women because of this. Anything new attracts him. He pounces anything new. He wants like a child. And a woman, we see about girls, they want more than dolls and all kinds of things like that together, with all kinds of their small things. The foundation of the now life, the present life, is a woman. The breaking out above time and place is the man. That's the qualities. And these two desires, actually, because of this, there's this very big difference between the male brain and the female brain, because each brain is supposed to serve a different type of desire, meaning. But they cannot exist one without the other, and therefore, other than the sexual attraction, though this too is a problem, because a woman is attracted, a woman gets used, it's like a certain acquisition, like a home, she wants to acquire the man, she wants for him to be hers for sure, and she wants to bind him, and a male actually is not attracted to that. He's not feeling a certain compulsion or obligation. Although he also wants a woman as a control, as an acquisition. The fact that I acquired her, it's less. It's more that I can control her. For him, control is pride and honor, that he conquers her, this conquering, and then later it's already not important what happens with it, supposedly. Yes, and therefore they are in completion of each other, a struggle and a completion. Also, from the studies that I read, I saw that really the mechanism in the brain that is responsible for the sexual drive is twice as big in a male than in a female. In advance, a man is directed to simple sex. To him, it is sex that is not connected to family or to love or to emotions. To him, sex is something that is completely, it's just sex. It's some manner of receiving pleasure in a certain way. For a woman, no. For a woman, it is associated with emotions, with who, in what way. Who is he for me? Who am I for him? It's a very broad mechanism, and very, as a male, I say complex, but it's very refined. And therefore, it's again, we could say, like we said in the beginning of our discussion, that we cannot understand each other. There is no chance whatsoever to understand, to complete, to come to something. Rather, what happens again is what we talked about, concealment. That because of the concealment, we are in a state that this concealment helps us to calm the winds and complete and continue. Meaning concealment is a certain lack of awareness, you could say. I'm saying concealment is our salvation. That we truly are not aware how different we are. How much we don't understand each other, don't see each other, and yet we make each other up. Now, in animals, it happens in a very simple manner. There's no matter of emotions there, but rather everything is a calculation. Emotions are associated only at the degree of humans, the degree of speaking. For animals, it's a calculation. It's worthwhile for me to couple with her, and I want to couple with him because our offspring will come out in a good and best healthy possible way. That's how it happens in nature. In nature, it's simple. There are no emotions which confuse us. We don't look at the beauty, what appears to us as beautiful, that's what this beautiful lion. Actually, a lion is, she has nothing in that. They're actually, the males are more beautiful than the females in the degree of animal. It's not that they see the beauty like we do. It's completely not that thing. It's what we associate with their beauty is, what's the difference really? What's the difference between the way that we associate beauty to an external way and the way we as people look? We really, beautiful sex is considered the woman, but well, this is beauty and is always considered in male in nature because and subjugation to the female. There's no more than that, and it used to be with us also like that. We need to understand that throughout all times, the matter of the external form, let's say, was the least of the measures in choosing a spouse or a couple. Or it was either a matter of money, control, family closeness, social standings. But the beauty was something that only in the latest era, from the Renaissance and onwards, started becoming something, or that when we call romantic novels about those times, we think that they engaged in that. It completely was not like that. It's just like they would look at the fatter and healthier she is, it's a sign that the home will be good, and that's it. They looked in a very practical, simple manner at things. And she also looked how strong he is and will be able to provide, and or how rich he is, or how much he belongs to some elite or something. But only in such a way it was, and they never would choose these or those. Either the fathers or the family. And in general, it was very simple and clear. Like in animals. That they choose like that, that's how it was in humankind. It was there was no resistance, and all these romantic novels that they write and all that, it's simply for the elites that didn't have time, didn't have what else to do in life. And to the regular people, that was not at all an issue. Today, actually, in this way, we see that still mainly the men are drawn to the external looks, whereas women look more, first of all, at the internality, something more internal, something more that fits. Of course, external appearance is important, but it's less. For a female, of course, there's it's like true opposites in the attraction. It's like very interesting to see. What's interesting to see is also there are many, many discernments that it would be interesting for me to see how these contradictions in the end manage to complete each other. How do they do it? They can't, and therefore we see that just as we see a crisis in all that men engage in, economy, the education, and so on and so forth, we have a crisis also in the family. And in general, in the identity of man and woman, as they're being confused and they're mixing these discernments, what is male, what is female, women go out to work and become managers and also prime ministers, and men lose their force and they're willing to sit at home, and everything is receiving some unclear form, seemingly unnatural, because we're in a crisis, also in that. And therefore, all these ways of ours are very limited. Meaning you're saying a thing like this, you're like, there is the man and the woman, there's men and there's women, but in our story of life, the is getting more and more complicated, and the woman looks at, because I have a female mind, today it operates, and today it's very unclear, truly. And this is very true. Studies are showing today that not necessarily is there a connection between the sex that one was born with and his mind, meaning it could be a woman that is got a very male thought and behavior, where there could be a man that's very emotional. But we see it also how they're realizing in their lives. And this is because we have come to a social life that is broken, such that we lost that status of a man and that status of a woman. It's not clear. We came to some kind of unisex that it's not this and not that, and each is can replace the other, and this mixture, this intermixture between the sexes made our in many languages the word teacher is a man. In many languages there is no such thing as a female teacher. A doctor, it's a doctor, it's a male doctor. What is a female doctor? Meaning such professions that a musician, a pianist, in Hebrew the female pianist is kind of like not clear to, it's something that not too long ago, let's say for the last 200 years, it just wasn't even acceptable in human society. And today you have a captain on a ship, a woman, the prime minister is a woman, they're a minister that is a woman, and I'm not even talking about teachers and managers that are all, the teachers are almost all female. Meaning men and women have truly kind of been corrupted from all this, and they're also educated by women. If we talk about, and we talked about this a lot, in some of our programs, that the main thing that changes a person is the environment. What environment do I have as a man if above me there's a woman? Not that I'm, God forbid, disregarding women, but I need to get an example from a man. As I grow in the kindergarten, in the school, I need to see a man that is giving, that is his image, his example. The truth is, I remember from all my teachers in school, only two. One for mathematics and one for history. They were men. And I remember that from them I received a lot, whereas I don't remember that I received or what I was impressed by my female teachers, because all the rest were women teachers. It's a certain... It's very, very much felt if a man teacher or a woman teacher is standing before you. And for a child, it's a disaster, because I remember that when we went on for this without realizing the differences, of course, the inclination for this crisis was hastened at first, which we needed to reach. But altogether, this hastened our ripeness to understand that we're not in the right way, on the right path. Therefore, today, in our times, we are in a state that it's a big problem. And nevertheless, the problem is that also our mind is changing and our desires are changing. Meaning we've come to a state, what's called a crisis, that the external conditions, as we've corrupted ourselves by intermingling external systems, it operates on the inner structure of our mind, on the inner structure of our desires. And we seemingly are going with these corruptions into men, into human beings. And if I were to develop according to nature in a normal, egotistical way, like a man, and you, let's say, as a woman, today we would be inside truly flawed. Each entered into his nature a very big flaw by external systems that are intermixed. And this is actually the essence of the crisis. I'll go back to over this in my words. If we said that there's a system before that is upper, that you called it the will to enjoy, and based on this system there's the female mind and the male mind, and the mind is all in all a serving thing. Also the will to enjoy, and the will to enjoy of the male and female, and also the mind that serves this and that. So it's completely two complete different systems. And so what happened is that the environment stabilized my mind, actually. We would get one environment, but each would see differently. Each would absorb his part, yes. But because in this environment we started to intermix, just as I gave an example from education, we got examples from the other sex, and we entered it in with force into himself. Men mostly... were harmed from this, and not women. So it works out that both their desires and also their minds were already flawed, broken, because they took upon themselves the forms of women. It's interesting, what you just said now is also that the externality influenced the internality, but you also said that the female brain is more dominant. This is what we see, that all in all, we are really pushing women forward. Also men are agreeing to that. One of the things I read that was very interesting, and this is one of the researchers that talks about the study of the emotions, that actually when the mind was created in the womb for the first few weeks, it's first of all female. And then after the adding of the male hormones, after the eighth or ninth week, it starts to get the form and the shape of a brain of a male. But the first choice is the female brain. Is this connected somehow to what you said before? Because the ego completely is called after a woman, and in a man the ego works seemingly altruistically. It doesn't want to absorb or to acquire. It wants to spread. It wants to run. It wants distances. It's not necessarily physically, but in an idea form, in a creative form. He needs something that gives something new. A man enjoys innovation and games. And for a woman, the games are very clear how they start, that's how they finish, in a way that nothing has to be new. The game itself is good. For a man, no. He needs results from the game. He needs to know what's unknown and that I attain. For a woman, no. A woman that knows what will be in the end, she's fine with that. She's good with that. She enjoys the process. The man does not enjoy the process, only from the result. Yes, we can really see this in a very... Yeah, we say that women likes processes, that's why she likes to talk about it. And the clearer it is what it's going to be in the end is better for her also, because she enjoys from that. And a man, completely, for him, it's not... What do I need to be in that at all in that case? One of the most emphasized male attributes is the matter of competition and the game, the sports. That's why men like so much games, football, sports. It's really, the result is not known in advance, and this causes a certain excitement. When you described it, it seems like there's two different materials. Like one wants to conglomerate, and the male that wants to break out, actually disperse. So it's like truly two opposites that are, two elements that are truly working in a true opposite manner. Now, but I heard you say many times that our thought has become more round lately, and now we're in a period where usually a round thought is associated to more female thought, where she takes into account also the logical part of the intellectual and also the experiential mind. And is this correct? No, I talked about this only about the flooring in this, how the corruption in this, that men are losing through education, through systems, these pluralistic pluralism, that everything is equal and equality and clothing, we're not different from each other, and behavior we see in bars and pubs, women, and when a cowboy walk into a bar and see women, excuse my French, but you'd see prostitutes there. And where would you see that in some kind of a thing? Today, it's completely equal. It's for everyone. So it is, of course, weakening the men. The male side is truly getting destroyed. And this is a problem. But after we talked a lot about the materialism of a woman and the breaking out of a man, the most emphasized, it's clear to us, is in the corporeal, in the physical manner, even in our sexual parts. The spiritual result of how each acts and behaves in that same act, in that same thing. It's a summary of the desire for a man to break out and a woman for his desire to absorb and swallow. So what I talked about, the flaw, about the corruption, I truly talked about the corruption, that there's a certain inclusion in this sexual part. And we see that this is how much the male part has weakened and is losing his standing. And hence from here we see problems with the single parent families, divorce, a man doesn't get in the family what he would expect from that, from the side of his nature to receive. In short, we have lost many things here, though there's no bad without good. We're progressing to the understanding of the crisis, and from here to the correction. You talk a lot about the nature of man, that it was corrupted, and the structure of his brain and his desires. Well, this is also according to studies. And from my impression, you look at things in a very male point of view. No, there's also the change that has been through the male part and the and on the female part. The brain, the male is more sensitive, more weak than a woman. A woman is closer to nature. A male is above nature, kind of floating. All the external things influence him greatly. A woman, because she's closer to nature, because she must also be during the period of pregnancy and birth and childbirth, it is much more fundamental, more solid and stable. Whereas a man, no. And the fact that he's strong physically with his strength, he's not strong in survival. In this force of patience, in the force of wherever we need a long, precise, meticulous work and precise work, man doesn't have those attributes. He's ready for breaking out. He's a hero for a short period of time. He doesn't have the patience and the persistence. No, not at all. Very quickly, he loses interest or his ability to deal with things at all. Rather, there needs to be a woman that holds on and supports and directs, just like a woman, like a mother, and then it succeeds. So you're saying that men absorbed from the mix between the sexes, I'm looking at it as a certain zoom out from afar, meaning throughout history there used to be very clear sexes, man and women, just like in with animals and nature and so on, until they started to corrupt. And then he said about more or less 200 years, even more than that, a few hundred years ago, a certain mix occurs between men and women, and then this weaker, more sensitive and part called the man, it absorbs the things, and then his male nature gets corrupted. Now, throughout nature, we actually looked at it, even from the angle that you look at it, is very male. What happens in the female process type in this whole process? The female form, even though it blows all these issues, it deals with it from the ego, from because a woman absorbs everything into her, because of her, from her nature, she scrutinizes everything within her. She absorbs things, she receives things, and therefore, just like we, in our guts, in our intestines, we digest things and absorb from them good things and repel the bad things, the refuse, then the same thing happens in her, that though she absorbs all the things that are in the environment, in the society and everything, but her programming is very original, very natural, which is, I need a man that will supply for me all my needs, so I will be able to give birth to children, so they will develop and everything will be good for them and okay in a good and certain secure way. This original program is not flawed, or almost not flawed at all, and with all the bad things that she absorbs, she can expel them in a way of refuse. A man doesn't have such a mechanism. It sounds pretty concerning what you're describing. It's like there's a certain destruction of a male mechanism. And I also understand that it's how we're destroying a certain mechanism. Yes, of course. And first of all, the question is, what do we do now? Let's say we understand this, that we somehow, because of our culture and our education, we're destroying this element. No, this is part of the crisis, so that we will understand that in such a way we are coming to a certain, a very big inflation of human society. Meaning, as far as we get further away from nature, we advance into a negative place, into a bad place. What does it mean that we're distancing ourselves from nature? Well, nature is as close as we were to the degree of animals. As the more that we want to progress to the speaking type, we become a minus speaking and not the plus speaking. We develop in a direction from the degree of animate, meaning that we were once apes, that we were male and female, yes, and then everything was healthy, clear, there was no difference, there were no arguments. Who she is and who I am. Everything was in its place. There were no questions. And also, there weren't questions, more or less, in those primitive forms that, in the beginning of the human development. And later, it was maybe also not so much a problem, because we developed according to the values of money, strength, force, control, social relations, social standings. It was still clear, more or less. I am associated with a certain caste or a certain level. So I can't get married with someone that's more than me, and also I won't get be married with someone who's less than me. I have to get married with someone who's equal to me. And in general, they would get married with their relatives, with cousins, is called. You would search for your cousins. Yes, that was customary, like that. There's a sister, and after the sister, there's one more level of distancing. The cousins, the daughter of the brother and the sister of your parents. That's how they used to get married. And why? Because nevertheless, it remains in the family. The assets and the help, and that's how it was customary. We developed. We got further away from each other. We already developed also in the quantity of people. We also developed in distances and in our engagements. And nevertheless, they used to get married only according to that level, only who comes to me. That's it. I can't jump. No one longs for the princess. And you can't jump from degree to degree. If I'm a cobbler, then I look between the cobblers first. We go into businesses. We need to survive. We need to live. She belongs to a cobbler. I belong to a cobbler. Okay, so this is a good way. And that's how it was to be. And then they take us into the same business. We broaden it a little bit. We build a house or something like that together next to their parents or her parents or mine. And that's it. And this is how humanity developed. It used to develop. It was all clear, in other words. Everything was natural to the new values, but those values were acceptable in the environment without any problems. There was no question about it at all. People didn't think that there's in the matter of sex or to get married, who with who yes and with who not, and why like this. It was like in animals. It was defined in a simple way, according to a level and according to the boundaries. How much I can or I can't. I don't travel to look for a woman along the ways, and I go into some villages, into some cities, and no way. There's no such thing. That wasn't even on the topic. It wasn't a subject matter. The subject matter was, how do we live today, tomorrow, the next day? Food, family, first of all. And from there we advanced to where? We advanced to the Middle Ages, beyond the Middle Ages and this Renaissance. What did it do to the differences between the sexes? It started to confused a little bit in the culture, but that was mostly in the elites. Where was the bifurcation here, the point? It was probably the French Revolution and those periods, or that it occurred from the technological development. And then what happens between the sexes? The technological development starts to put confusion between us because everyone became laborers. Everyone's workers. And then also technicians, also engineers. The technology started to eat us and put us into systems, social systems, new social systems. What did it do to the male, to the men type, the male sex? It took the man completely out of the home and the family, and also started to take the woman type out as well. And started to process them in such a way that they disconnected from the home. Then kindergartens became, and schools for children, and all kinds of systems. All kinds of such systems that the definition of the family was destroyed because each is running away from the home all day long. These come home at night, they bring what we've earned, food, we eat, we lay back in bed, and then in the morning, once again, we run away from the home. Even women. Once it was, we had a home, we worked together in the field, next to the cows, next to this, we took care of our children, meaning there was something that was clear about where we are. And from the beginning of the industrial revolution, there's the confusion. Our time is over. I'd like one sentence from this whole confusion between the sexes and this whole change in the perception of the male type. Where's it going in short in the future? It's one observation in all the corruptions and all the flaws in it. We are advancing to such states where this won't be the greatest flaw. We have problems of the environment, of the ecology. We have a problem with the climate and with hunger, and where the problems between the men and women is not a small thing. It's the foundation of life in the end. Will we have families or not? But this is not the main topic. So how do you relate to it? Will we have families or not? I think that the crisis will break out and broaden even before we start asking that. What are we finishing with? We have 20 seconds. Towards man and woman, towards the human brain, the male brain and the male brain. Well, we didn't get to that yet. So we're ending by the fact that we need completion, another discussion. We need completion, but it will come after the recognition of evil and the decision to correct the good. Thank you very, very much, Rav Lightman. Our time is over. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you, too, for being with us. We're looking for completion. Be with us on our next discussion. A good life. A new life.